First of all, you may have noticed that our side entrance is closed. One of our sprinkler system pipes burst on Wednesday morning, so we're in the process of cleaning and repairing and so on. So to prevent any kind of accident, we've had to close that off. So just be patient when leaving. And then also always be careful with the parking lot and so on. But so be it. The other thing is that you may be wondering, why do we have all our Christmas decorations still up? But technically, Christmas, in tradition, continues on till February 2nd, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, 40 days after the birth of Christ. So we might as well enjoy all of this. It takes, you know, so long to put it up, we should enjoy it. So I'm happy with it. Hopefully you are too. But anyway, so last Sunday, we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany, when the Magi came to adore our Lord, the newborn Savior. Remember, Epiphany means the awakening, the enlightenment. So here is the awakening to the world of this newborn Savior, the Son of God, who became man, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Here, we're awakened to the reality that Christ came to save not just the Jew, but even the Gentile, not just the righteous, but even the sinner. Now we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. So 30 years have passed. Jesus is ready to begin his public ministry. His cousin, John the Baptist, the last great prophet, has been preparing the way. John has preached this message of conversion and repentance. He has performed this ritual of baptism. Keep in mind, though, that this is different from our baptism. Our baptism is sacramental, that is intrinsically united to the saving act of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. Now, John recognizes Jesus doesn't need to repent or to convert, and so he protests, "I should be baptized by you, but you're coming to me." Jesus said, "Give in for now. Allow it for all righteousness, because another epiphany is going to take place." As we heard, right after that ritual washing, the heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and the voice of the Father is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son." So here is an awakening at the beginning of our Lord's public ministry to the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Here, the Father announces, "This is my Son, this is the Savior, the Lord, the Redeemer." The Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove. Remember back in the time of Noah, God had sent the flood to wash away evil. And then the dove came with the olive branch to announce a new creation had occurred. And same way here, that the Holy Spirit in the form of this dove is announcing, Christ is going to bring about a new creation, a new life of grace in his saving action. Well, now, let's fast forward 3 years. So our Lord has offered the sacrifice on the cross. He's risen. So he has plunged himself into the depths of our sin and even death itself, and risen to forgive sin, to conquer death and open the gates of heaven. At the time of the ascension, though, our Lord said to the apostles, "Now you go out, you preach the gospel, make disciples, teach everything I've taught you, and baptize in the name of the Holy Trinity." That's exactly what our church has done. So Christ gave us this beautiful sacrament so that you and I can truly say, "Yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. What he has done truly has touched my life here and now in the year 2014. Through baptism, then, the hand of God reaches out, and original sin, all sin, is washed away. Sanctifying grace, that divine life of the Holy Trinity, is infused into our souls. We share in the divine life and love of Almighty God. That sanctifying grace elevates our human nature to something better than Adam and Eve even had. With sanctifying grace, we are able to share in divinity. So just as Jesus humbled himself to share in our humanity, sanctifying grace allows us to share in the divine life of God. Also, a seal, a character, is stamped upon our soul. Because of baptism, we are reborn as a child of God, as a member of the church, as one who shares in the saving graces of our Savior. What a beautiful gift this is. Never should we forget that. But at the same time, baptism is something that we live. In our first reading from Isaiah, we hear of how God says, "I'll take you by the hand." Well, in a sense, baptism is taking the hand of Jesus and walking with him each day, allowing him to be our good shepherd. Baptism is walking with our Lord, as the psalm says, whether it's the time of the verdant pasture, when life is good and we can rejoice in so many blessings, or the dark valley, when life is tough and we face the sorrows, the sacrifices, the tragedies, even death itself. But we hold on to that hand of Christ. Now, granted, we have to make Christ present in our lives, so we have to awaken ourselves, and that's why we must take time to pray, to study our faith, and know our Lord better, to receive the other sacraments and have that ongoing nourishment of grace. Granted, at times we may fail, we sin, but that's why the sacrament of penance is so important, to restore the sanctifying grace that has been weakened or even lost because of mortal sin. But this is the beautiful journey of baptism. Eventually, we hope, though, that one day, having walked with our Lord faithfully, we'll enter the kingdom of heaven. There's the fulfillment, when we'll see the Holy Trinity, the face of God. How wonderful that will be. So as we celebrate this feast of the baptism of our Lord, we should really consider our own baptism. Never should we look at baptism as simply a ritual, a custom, or a tradition. No, it's a living sacrament. Never should we think, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're baptized or not. Yes, indeed, it does matter, because it is through baptism that we're open to these graces. We become that child of God. The Vatican Council truly said that it is through the Catholic Church that the fullest means of salvation subsist, and that begins with baptism. So never should we say, oh, it doesn't matter. It does indeed matter. We become a child of God. But then, too, we have to be on guard that this just doesn't become something where we grow apathetic, something that we just become complacent with. Pope Francis, in his recent apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, warned about this very point. He said, "The great danger in today's world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, is the desolation and anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart, the feverish pursuit of frivolous pleasures, and a blunted conscience." Haven't we seen that happen? Even to so many people who identify themselves as Christian, who have been baptized, they've allowed it all to become suffocated, the graces to become extinguished because of things of this world. When I read statistics like that only 1/3 of children who were baptized in the Catholic faith are still practicing, I have to ask, what went wrong? With all that God has given to us through our church, through our Savior, what went wrong? So this is a Sunday, then, as we really are coming to the end of our Christmas actual celebration and now setting the stage for our Lord's public ministry and having just completed a year of faith last year, when we should pause and consider to renew our own baptismal promises. to really make a new encounter with the Lord. This is essential for each one of us. All of us here could pause and say to ourselves, how better could I live my baptism? How better could I awaken myself to Christ? But then we have to remember that it's not just about me. It's also about being part of a church. And that means, like the apostles who were sent out to preach the gospel and baptize, we too are sent out on a mission. So it's not just about me, but it's about us. So take, first of all, that basic mission of your home. This is essential. I hope that all of you take some time, given this feast day, to pause and think, how better could I make myself, my spouse, my parents, my children more faith-filled? How could I make my home a better dwelling place for the Lord, where Christ is truly present? This is something that has to be a constant, consistent growth. Not something, as Isaiah warns, about something with force, something that's sporadic, something that is inconsistent, but something that's steady, something that is consistent. For instance, going back to that awful statistic, if a child, for instance, has a home life where, well, this Sunday we have time for church, next Sunday we don't, that's inconsistent. Or if the parents do not live the faith that is lived here in church, it's like Christian on Sunday at Mass, but pagan the rest of the week. Or if children are raised in a way, well, this year you have religious ed because it's First Communion, but next year you don't, but we'll wait in 6 years when it's time for confirmation and go from there. Now, granted, there's always the challenges of the world, but still, the faith has to be lived, and parents have to nurture those baptismal graces in their children in a consistent, steady way. But then we also have to remember, we go out to the world. So we go out to our school, our workplace, our neighborhood, and so on. How do we live our faith? Are we known for our baptism, or do we just blend in? Do we use the same bad language as a pagan would? Do we have the same blunted moral conscience as a pagan would? Or do we show we're faithful? We're faithful Christian Catholics who love our faith. And that's the key, to have real joy in living our faith, because our faith is beautiful. This is something that Pope Francis reminded us of too, that it's not simply getting into battles over particular moral issues, although it's important to speak the truth on those. It's about expressing a joy for the overarching faith that we have received. So really, living a baptismal faith is presenting ourselves with a big yes to Jesus and a big yes to the foundational principles of the gospel upon which everything else is built. So we need to present ourselves saying, yes, life is sacred, that every human being from conception till natural death has dignity. That yes, we believe that marriage is a sacred institution between a man and a woman, and children have a right to have a family, a normal family, because God designed it, and it's the basic building block for society and the church. And we say yes to justice, that as a Christian, I do treat people fairly, that I am just in my practices, at business, whatever it may be, that I'm an honest person. But people have to see that. They have to see that yes, and a joyful yes, that we love our Lord, that we love our faith. The real test would be, do we live our lives in such a way that someone would say, I want to be baptized too? Think about our second passage. Here St. Peter is in Caesarea, which was like the little Roman headquarters where Pontius Pilate actually governed. Peter meets a centurion named Cornelius. I have to wonder, is that the same centurion that witnessed the crucifixion? Maybe so. We don't know for sure. But that centurion, that Roman pagan, says on his own behalf and that of his family to St. Peter, I want to be baptized. We want to be baptized. Do we live in such a way that people look at us and say, you have a joyful faith. This is what I want too. So my brothers and sisters, we celebrate this beautiful feast of the baptism of the Lord. Let us remember, though, part of our own actual baptism, where the priest said, you've been enlightened by Christ. Walk always as a child of that light. Keep the flame of faith alive in your hearts. And when the Lord comes, go out to meet him with all the saints and angels. May God bless you.